All right, praise the Lord. So I'm going to share the word today, And it was so good this morning, Pastor George, my husband, he blesses me, he equips me, he gives me that, he released me to do and to share. And I think that is very awesome. You know, married couples, that I just got that confident that I have his approval. Amen. And that he prays for me and that he is rooting for me. Anyway, so I appreciate that. Yes. To be honest, as much as my personality, I could not do it without him. And that's okay. I submit to that leadership and his support. He makes me strong. And so, you know, all feisty and strong and all that, because I have a godly man that I know has my back. Amen. And that's what God intends of marriages, for husband and wife to be in one accord. Amen. Saying all that is just, lately I find myself a little bit out of touch. Have you ever feel like that, that things are happening around you and you don't have complete control of it? You know, sometimes I've been feeling like that. And of course, I got gadgets that make me feel I'm not in control. I got this Fitbit that San Juanita gave it to me, and I love it. But it does things to me, you know. I'm supposed to watch the time, and I see I'm banging and banging. And then whenever he decided, then he gives me the time, you know. So I know there's got to be a more simple way than that. But nevertheless, I put in there, tell me how long I've been walking and all that. But it has all kinds of things, and it vibrates, and it beeps, you know. And I'm just trying to figure it out, but I don't have time, so I keep on going. Amen. And so then I have a phone that it was going to be, it was going to die. I have it for so many years. And then I got me the 14, the iPhone 14. Yeah. All right. Well, he too have a mind of his own. And so I'm trying to figure it out and how to text and call. And the other day I was reading and talking and practicing a little bit what I'm going to bring today. And it was sent to my friend here, Diane, and she called me all confused. But I was more confused because my phone took it upon itself to do it. And thank God it was the word. So I got all out of shape. How come it did that? Yeah, I'm sure what you're thinking, you all techie, they know it. Oh, that's simple. You probably pushed whatever. Yeah, I probably did. I'm sure. But maybe I didn't. So there it goes. I have no control over that phone either. And then my husband blessed me with a new car. Well, it's new for me. It's not a new car. But, oh, the God whistles and bells and all kinds of stuff. He too is putting the brakes when I don't want to be put the brakes. And I'm minding my own business, and now it's just going beep, 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 beep. I'm supposed to have a smooth, quiet ride. You know, when I got in the car, that's what I was looking for. A peaceful ride. It's not peaceful, but peaceful. It's telling me what to do. I thought I'd tell the car what to do. You know, to a point that I say it's time for a break with a coffee cup. Who does that? No wonder I'm stressed out. And we wonder why we're stressed out. Every gadget around us is telling us what to do and how to do it. And telling us no. The other day, I let the car go a little bit. You know, just got the brakes. I don't know. Well, he put the emergency brake. And so I was trying, you know, my husband was trying to move it. Mm-mm, didn't budge. So saying all that, this world that we're living is going all kinds of directions, isn't it? But you see, there's one key thing of each one of those gadgets that I just mentioned. It has a manual. I'm sure it would explain there all these things. So I will not be surprised and taken over. Have I spent the time on reading it? No. As I go, we do that with the Word of God. You see, the Spirit of the Lord, God has given us the Word of God. And we need to read it. We need to know it. So we will not be surprised by the tactics of the enemy. So we will not be overwhelmed when things happen and come our way. So we'll not be confused between two opinions. So we know that we know that we know. Now, we may not be able to know all the Bible, but we should. But know what is in the Bible that you believe for. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to rephrase that. Your belief should be grounded in the Word of God, and you should be able to find it. So when somebody questions you about the Lord in your life, in the kingdom of heaven, in Jesus Christ, that you will quickly be able to open the Word of God and say, I believe that He is my Lord and Savior because, and you have the Word of God to back you up. So when somebody starts questioning you, why you go to church? Why you call yourself a Christian? And if you die today, where are you going? How do you know where you're going? And why you Christian, fill the blank. Why do you give? Why you give all your money to your pastor? Why do you give? Why do you worship the Lord? Why do you raise your hand? Why do you have a band? Why do you dance before the Lord? Why do you forgive? Why do you walk in love? That you be able to open the Word, amen, and back up what you believe. It's very important that you do, all right? That was commercial. That's free. Okay, get my glass a little bit of gadgets on. Today we're going to be talking about faith. A key word. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him, Jesus, God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You see, without faith, it doesn't say it'll be hard. It doesn't say you'll get halfway. It say impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And then after that, it start talking about those heroes of faith. They walk. They know. By faith, Noah built the ark, right? God told him it took some work, right, to build this ark. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham obeyed when God told him to leave where he lived and walk out of that. By faith. And so, what is faith? What is your faith? There's strong faith and weak faith. Sometimes we feel like we can move the mountains. Sometimes we pray, right, knowing. Other times our faith starts getting a little bit dry. If we're honest with each other, sometimes we get shaken inside. Why? I wonder why. Well, thank God for the Word, right? Thank God for the Word of God. Let's go to James. James chapter 2, verse 14 say, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone say he has faith but does not have works? Oh. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be worn and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Does also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. How's your faith? Does also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the devil, demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And then it talks about Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which say, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. So my faith, my works that I do unto the Lord goes hand in hand. Faith without corresponding action is dead. I'm going to show you my faith, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the works that I do. And it takes work to serve the Lord. Now this morning, we are surrounded by people that have done a lot of work in order to demonstrate their faith. We have the band. Well, it's work. As Alexa and Olivia. It works. They come during the week. They practice for two, sometime more, hours. They have to practice. They have to put it together. It works. But they are going to demonstrate their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by they put it all together and it sounds so wonderful and usher us, the body of Christ, into the presence of the Lord. Thank God for them, right? Show me your faith by your works. It takes works. The dancers, too. It's not that simple. They come and pray. And as they come and pray and they minister to one another, they lift up the name of Jesus. You see, that is faith. But it takes some work. They have to decide. They have to tell their body. Pastor George has been teaching about the flesh don't want to do this. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to do works, but it takes works. And the sound people, you know, I love the sound people. While everything is going good, nobody noticed. They're right there, right? We enjoy the works that they do unto the Lord until something squeals. And then all eyes are in the sound people. And then the sound people are like, trying to put it in. Then we notice, right? Don't we do the same? God blesses us all the time. We're in one accord with the Lord. He's blessing us day in, day out. We got food. We got a roof over our head. We got health. All that onto something. The washer doesn't wash anymore. The dishwasher is broken. Or you name it. Then the whole world comes to a halt, right? How about that we continue to do our life until the doctor give us a bad report? And then we run to the Lord, don't we? But again, it takes work. The children's church, I pray, I thank God for all those that volunteer to teach the little one. You are ministering to them. You are showing your faith. A lot of time we minister to adults, Pastor George and I, adults, about the kingdom of heaven and Jesus and being saved, and they usually say things like this. Oh, I remember, yeah, I used to be to children's church, a Sunday school. I used to go to BBS. You see, you're ministering, and it takes work, doesn't it? I hope you don't take 5 minutes before the lesson to look at it. and then stand before those children. I hope it takes work. You're ministering. You're showing your faith. How many things are you doing in life that have nothing to do with God? Those works that you're doing that have nothing to do with God. Let me tell you, you can bring God into whatever it is that you're doing. If you're going to work, physically work to get a paycheck and all this good thing, you still there can be a witness and show your faith. Listen, it's dangerous when somebody at work, you finally decide that tell them you're a Christian and they will turn around and say, you are? That's not good. That's not a compliment. The people at work know that you are a believer. Are you showing your faith by the type of work that you do? Are you honest? Are you faithful? Do you have integrity? You see, they're watching you. Do you lose your cool and everything comes out of your mouth? And then you want to praise the Lord or call yourself a Christian? You got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Show me your works. Let me see your works. Let me see what you do. Jesus said something really profound. Let's go there. John 14, 12. This is Jesus speaking. He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Back again, most assuredly I say to you, he who believe in me, the works there are. What works? What kind of works did Jesus do? And he's saying, you're going to do greater works than I have. What kind of works did he do? What kind of work did Jesus do? I know one time he washed the disciples' feet. It was bringing a point, right? About being humble. What kind of work he did while he was walking here? He healed the sick. He laid hands on the sick and they recover. He cast out demons. Cast out unclean spirit. Those are the works. Where's the church? If we're supposed to be doing the works that he did, greater works than he did. Greater because of quantity, probably, right? Because I can't see myself doing greater works than Jesus. But we're more. We're many. We're the body of Christ. When was the last time when somebody came and talked to you and told you how sick they were? How sick they were feeling? Did you immediately remember the works of the Lord? And immediately after listening to the woes, did you lay hands on them? Well, he called us to do that. Those are the works of Jesus. You see, that's how we show our faith. When was the last time that after you finished, oh, well, I have this and that and I feel and the doctor and all this, that you lay hands and said, let me pray for you. Can I lay hands on you? Let me tell you, when you are in Walmart and the Spirit of the Lord tells you to pray for the person in front of you, challenge. And then you go in this mode. You go, well, if the person turn around and smile at me, Lord, I know it's you. If the person turned around and wink at me, I know it's you. So you have this fight with the Lord, right? But the Spirit of God is telling you, lay hands. Bring prayer. Bring hope. Who's going to do it? A lightning from heaven? Or is the body of Christ moving in the works of Jesus? How about last time somebody was tormented, couldn't sleep? Full of anxiety and fear. Do you take authority over it? You say, you know, we're going to agree right now, and I'm going to bind that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Who's supposed to be saying that? We are. When are we going to do it? When we go to heaven? But we don't need to do it there. There's going to be no demons there. So when are these things? Mark say, these signs will follow those that believe. He didn't say, these signs will follow those that, apostles, prophet. These signs will follow the pastor. That's not what Mark says. These signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. I don't know about you. Last time I checked, they're still pretty much alive around us. Don't you think? And they're doing the work. They're tormenting, trying to torment the body of Christ. We are victorious. But you know, like bullies, he's a bully. What does it stop a bully? Somebody to say, hey, enough. A bully never stops. They'll keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on until somebody comes and say, hey, I think that's enough. It's the same thing with the body of Christ. The devil's going to come after you and after me because we serve a living God. He's going to continue to torment us, going to continue to try to steal, to kill, to destroy until we stand and we say, enough. And that's only in the name of Jesus. But we have to say it. We have to take authority. There's no peace in your house. I mean, it's just being like, I say one thing, my husband remembers something else. Have you ever been talking to someone and then you stop and say, can you repeat to me what I just said? And it's completely different. Have you noticed that? A twister, twisting your words. How about at work? Sometimes I feel like you're talking Chinese or something. Because nobody's understanding what you're saying. Take authority. The enemy is right there twisting your words. Or your text. You can't spread emojis. You can put emojis sometimes. And if you put the wrong one, that is bad too. I know. I'm not a techie person. I want to go back again. No. So even when you write things, right? Isn't that misunderstood? Who's going to take authority? When was the last time you rededicated your life to the Lord and your house? When was the last time that you start praying and doing a spiritual cleanup? We do physical cleanup, right? I hope. Keep your house tidy. When was the last time that you rededicated all that the Lord has allowed you to use and have? It's time to pray, right? It's time to do it. Let's go to another scripture. I get in trouble with my husband. No. Matthew 9:36. Actually, 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Oh, looking about the works of Jesus. They're here. They're lining up for you. Teaching, preaching, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Sickness and disease. And we are to do greater works than that. When was the last time? Again, right? This is your self-examination this morning. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciple, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Laborers, labor, work. The workers are few. Who are the workers? We are. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, workers, into his harvest. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirit to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. There, that's the work. Those are the works that we have to be about our Father business. When was the last time? You can lay hands on yourself sometime. You know? This is the way you put it. In Jesus' name, stop thinking like that. I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. Right? Your mind can go crazy. Bringing down. Casting down all imagination and anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Your mind. Where have you been thinking lately? Are you captive of that? Amen? You're feeling anxiety. Take a hold of it. Take authority in the name of Jesus. I'm going to have peace in the name of the Lord right now. You know, I share this that not long ago, I just got some anxiety. I believe that the enemy is really sending this to this nation and to every household and to every person to get anxiety. And I remember being in the car trying to go to Fort Myers and being paralyzed with fear. What is that? I have to drive. So as I'm holding on to the steering wheel and all that, I realized, no, I cannot go under this attack. And I went to fight in the name of Jesus. You see, it's going to take that in this latter days that we are. Listen, we're not in good place. And if you don't have works to come and show your faith is going to be dead. And if you're dead, if your faith is dead, you cannot please God. And if you can't please God, you're not in good right standing with him. Do you see the progress? You have to put some work. We have intercession. We have prayer on Friday morning. Let me tell you, it's work to wake up early in the morning at 7 o'clock to be here and pray. Your body is resisting. I'm not a morning person. But we do works. We intercede. We take time. Amen? We tell this body, get up. How many of my other places you could have gone this morning? It's Sunday. Oh, it's a beautiful day. But you chose to come here because you got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you know you want to gather together and hear the voice of the Lord and worship him. Glory to God. It takes work. It takes work. Your body refuses, right? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. So we have to get through this all the time. And then on chapter 10, he goes again. Jesus go and tell them, 10:8, say, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. When's the last time you witnessed about the Lord? You have people coming in and out. You're surrounded by people. When was the last time that you shared your faith? And as you share your faith, it is work. Because you got to go against what your flesh wants. Amen? Isn't that easier to ignore? Isn't that easier just to talk about, I don't know, anything but your faith? We can talk about sport. Yeah, we can talk about whatever. people how hard it is to say, you know, I serve a living God. If you let me, I can pray for you. Do you know my Jesus? Hey, you know, if today is your last day on earth, do you know where you're going? Those are good opening sentences. But boy, it takes work, doesn't it? Show me your faith by your works. Show me. Matthew 11:1. And it came to pass when Jesus finished commanded his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? I think in the New Testament, every time I read this scripture, I get in tears. And in fact, when I was reading this again, I just went in tears. Why? Do you realize the condition that John the Baptist was? The one that saw Jesus saying, behold, the Lamb of God. Remember? The one that say, it is me that needs to be baptized by you. Remember when Jesus asked John the Baptist to baptize him? The one that say, he must increase that I, what? Decrease. All of a sudden, he's in prison. Do you imagine the state of mind that John the Baptist was for him to take two of his disciples and send them and say, is he the one? Think about it. Have you been there? I have. When doubt comes, when you're going through a hard time, when nothing makes sense, when you get a bad report from the hospital or the doctor, when your finances doesn't make sense, when the loved one has gone astray, when someone you love and someone you care and serve the Lord all of a sudden, oh, you've been there. I've been there too. John the Baptist was there. And so the two disciples of John the Baptist come to Jesus and say, he wants to know, are you the one? What am I saying? It's going to come times in these latter days. We are in the end time where doubt is going to come. Where everything you look or touch, it breaks. When you don't know whether you're going or coming, it'll come. Now, Jesus didn't run to him and hold his hand and say, oh, you poor thing. What did he do? What did Jesus do? This is how he answered him. Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What a way to answer. Why? That's your faith. That's my faith. I live with a miracle man, but I can look through this church and see miracles and healing. If I can tell you, just stand up if the Lord has healed you in your life and restore you. I bet if I pass this mic, we have testimony until 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Not a bad idea. You can fast and you can stay and give glory to God for you being healed and restored. And how many prayers has God answered? Please don't do that, you know, the prayers are answered and then all of a sudden we forget and we go to the next prayer, the next need. Oh, how quickly do we forget what he has done for us. Works. Faith, stand. So Jesus telling and say, the lame walk. Show him the works. Do we have works around us? Yes, we do. We just sometimes don't recognize them. Or we quickly what? Forget. You know, God does miracle, financial miracles. We hear them over and over. When you need it the most, the money's been there. Do we hear it? Very seldom. We have a ministry here that's called Body Ministry. Dun, 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 dun. Move over, it's time to go. But we have Body Ministry, and what it is, we just gather together to talk about our Lord. To brag on the Lord. To testify what he has done in my life. People don't like to come. So let me ask you something. If you can't come here and testify among brethren what the Lord has done in your life, are you going to do it out there? We're among family. Look what the Lord has done. For me, it's one of my favorite services. You know why? Because I get to hear what God is doing in your life. You're testifying. You're bringing a song. And the Bible tells us when we gather together, each one of us have a song. Some have a psalm. Have a testimony. Witness about the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. And sometimes there's one or maybe two or three. Right, Matthew? We get excited. We get five. We get five. Woo-hoo! We got five here. And how many things have the Lord done in your life that week? You see, in the book of Acts, the church stays strong because they gather together. They broke bread daily, and they witness and they testify about the Lord. That's what church is supposed to be. How many times you've been healed and restored? How many times you got, I need to hear that. My faith increases. When I hear that you come and say, Pastor Asia, guess what? My son has returned. He's no longer lost. He's not on drugs. The Lord answered my prayer. Pastor Asia, I got healed. Do you know what that does to my faith? It increases. It's the living God. It's the living Word. You got faith? Show me your works. Well, it takes work to be here, to take time, to spend some time reading the Word and say, what can I share today? And witness about what the Lord has done. Oh, but we are too busy, isn't it? We're too busy. Look what the Lord has done. I'm sure John the Baptist, after he heard that, he says, okay, I can go now. After that, they kill him, and he went to be with the Lord forever. But he left with hope. This is the Messiah. We are the body of Christ. We are to do greater things. Let me tell you, more and more people are going to be tormented by demons. And you're the person that God is sending to lay hands, to cast it out, to heal the broken heart, to set free the captive. It will be upon you to do it. What does it take? You know, the people say, you know, can you pray for me? You know, immediately, right there, don't wait. Don't go, pray. Don't be like the world that every time something happened, then they say, I'll pray for you, and that never happened. In that day, you're going to be standing before the Lord. You know, come so immediately when somebody texts you or somebody or you see a need, right then. Is somebody coming to you and pouring their heart, the least you can do is that. So So let's wake up and let's take this kingdom out there where you're working with your friends. How many friends you have that do not know the Lord? Who you think is supposed to bring them to the Lord? The pastor? Well, we can't be there. We don't know your friends. We're not in with your friends, but you are. You say you have faith. Show me your works. It takes work. Amen? And ending 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. This is for you, for each one of you. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, wow. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what things you do unto the Lord, let me tell you, it's not in vain. Do not grow weary. You know, I taught so many moons ago, children's church, why are you not teaching anymore? It's open. There's no retirement in the ministry of the Lord. Unmovable, steadfast. Amen? Witness, open your mouth. Whatever thing you find, whatever thing you have in your, just do it unto the Lord. You do it unto the Lord. You don't do it for people. You're kind. You're gentle. Even when you are in line to pay, are you patient? Are you kind? Or are you huffing and puffing? Because the person's taking too long and have all these coupons. And you happen to be stuck. And then they argue with the cashier. Oh, no, honey. That's three times. No, no, no. And you're in a hurry. Because we're always in a hurry. Just turn around and talk to the person behind you that is fuming. And say a kind word and calm them down. Do works. You have faith, we have faith. Let's line up our works. Let's all stand. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for your word. Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to be more alert of our surrounding. Lord, help us, Lord. Give us divine appointment. And those divine appointment doesn't mean that they call us and take time with us, but those around us, Lord. Father, that we can show the works and do the works that you did. Help us, Lord, get us out of our self, that we can lay hands on the sick and cast out demons. Yes, Lord, and do your work and minister and preach and teach from the little ones to the oldest one. Help us, Lord, to get out of our self and to bring the kingdom of heaven here to a dying world, Lord. Father, I pray this week, Lord, again, that you put situations where we will have to exercise our faith by doing the works, by doing, by moving, by speaking, by laying hands. Help us, Lord. I bless your people. Encourage us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. Amen. So we're here if you need prayer. We're here to pray with you.